Want to welcome you this morning to Barbie's Grove. We've got a good crowd this morning. We just pray that you're blessed as you worship with us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have a Sunday without a storm. You know, we had three or four different Sundays in the last month where the weather was bad and threats of tornadoes and all of those kind of things. So it's just good to have a normal Sunday. Sunshiny, maybe. Maybe some rain later today. But we're glad you're in the Lord's house. Those who are visiting with us, want you to feel especially blessed. It's you're our guest and our honored guest. We're glad for you to be here. Anybody that's listening on the parking lot or on the website later, want you to know we're pleased that you've joined us together as we worship Jesus. May we pray. Father, we bow before you today. In the name of Jesus, we come into your presence through that strong, wonderful name. It means our Savior. And we think about him as our King, our Lord, our God. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And Father, we pray that today Jesus might be honored. He might be lifted high. We pray today, Father, that the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us according to our needs, according to what you would like to speak to our hearts. And Father, help us all, it's starting with me, to have ears to hear spiritually what you're saying. Lord, for those that are part of our fellowship that are ill today, we lift them up, praying that you might be very near to them. Those that are in nursing homes or shut in at home, Father, I pray that you might be with them, that they'll feel your presence in a powerful way. Lord, we love you, and we thank you that our love is just a reflection of your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, good morning, and welcome again. We're going to be singing at Calvary for our opening hymn today, and we're going to do all four verses. So stand with me. It'll be on the board or 138 if you like to hold your book.
I spend in vanity and pride. Care You'll sound better than I do, Tonda. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here, and it's good to be here. I welcome you to Barber's Grove today, and we'll go over our announcements and prayer requests at this time. Today at 11, we have in church council. I guess that's still on. That's what I thought, but it was okay. Thank you, Brenda. Okay.
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay, so the youth pastor search committee will be today at 11 instead, and not next Sunday.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for the correction. At 5 o'clock today will be children and youth meeting at 5 today. Adult prayer time at 5 today at the same time. And then at 5:30, adult church training. That is today. And then obviously this month is the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering Month of March and April. And then we will have adult choir practices shown there on April the 6th and April the 13th at 6:30. That will be on Sunday. Thank you. That will be on Sunday.
Yes.
For 2 Sundays. Okay. And then next Saturday at April the 5th from 10 a.m. to noontime, there will be egg hunt for crafts and activities, and all invited, and bring a friend. Anyone want to add to that? Of course.
There will be snacks.
I think you just got them to come. Okay. Next Saturday, Easter egg hunt, starting at 10. And then in 2 weeks, on Sunday, April 13th, the children will be singing in worship service. Okay. And then following the Sunday after that, which is 3 Sundays, will be Easter Sunday. And you see our schedule there. We'll have a sunrise service, followed by breakfast, and then we'll come from breakfast into here for our Easter service. And I know the cooks will have to get here a little bit earlier so we can enjoy the fine cooking that will be done.
I think Leonard said 5:30.
5:30 for the cooks?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Okay, save the date. Vacation Bible School. I see we have 2 volunteers, Emily and Hannah. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering to serve as directors for Vacation Bible School. It'll be June the 20th on kickoff, and then the following day on Saturday the 21st will be at the actual Vacation Bible School. Times and information forthcoming, is that correct? Anyone that wants to volunteer.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Any additional announcements we need to cover at this time? Yes, ma'am.
There will be a Wednesday meeting scheduled the 2nd in the fellowship hall at 10 o'clock.
And ladies,
please.
10 a.m. April 2nd. All you ladies. I know one thing for sure, you'll have a great leader here. Thank you, Rosina. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. We need some more Rosinas. So if you see any out there, bring them in. We appreciate what you do. Any other announcements? Okay. If not, we'll take time to go over our prayer requests and praise reports. And I'll be the first to say I'm glad to see two people here I haven't seen in a while. It's Tony and Bobby. Thank you. And also, go ahead, Bobby.
Well, I want to thank everybody for the prayers and the hugs. It was amazing how they arrived when I needed them the most. And the Lord was good to us. Friday was a splendid day. Saturday was a super day. And today it was a fantastic day because I'm here.
Amen. You want to top that? Go ahead, Tony. And Jay, it's good to see you too. I was getting to you. I think you've been successful in your procedures this week.
Yeah, finally.
Finally. It's good to have you here with us. And I'm grateful for the health care you were given. Anyone else want to have a praise report before we turn our attention to prayers? Okay, there are many on here that need a prayer request. And Ashley Shin is a young lady that came with Jeff and Charlene Harville many times with her brother. She's been diagnosed with cancer. And I don't know her exact age, if any of you do. But just...
Ashley's in high school. I do know that. I don't know what grade, but I know she's in high school.
And this may be her second time.
Second time?
I think she had...
Okay, well, I'm aware of that. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Carol Carpenter. They put her in the hospital last night. She's in ICU.
Carol Carpenter?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Betty, yes. Betty came home, yes.
She's up and moving around fairly well. Just some lower extremity swelling that we are praying that resolves soon.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Continue to remember those families that have lost loved ones, and Roger Eford family is mentioned here. And I'm sure there's many more. If there's nothing else, then join me if you would, and we'll take time now to pray for these on our list and anyone else that hasn't been mentioned. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together again, Father. We ask for your blessings upon each and everything that's done, Father. And we come confessing, dear Lord, Father, that we are grateful for your love, your forgiveness, the mercy that you give us each and every day, Father. And now as we lift up these to you, Father, in prayers, there are many more, Father, that need our prayers today. Many unspoken requests. We're grateful for the praise reports for Bobby and Tony and Jay. We thank you, dear Father, that you brought them back into your house today, Father. And they walked in the door, Father. We thank you for that. And Father, for those suffering cancer there on the list, I know there's Ashley, there's a lady named Kelly, and there are many more, Father, with many diseases, Father, that need your touch and your healing hand today, and we lift them up to you at this time. We pray for Carol Carpenter, Father, as she's in ICU. We pray for the health care that she'll be receiving. We thank you that you were able to get Betty home again, Father, and we pray that there would be ways and provisions that she would be able to carry on life, Father, in a normal way. We thank you for healing in her life. And Father, for those that have lost loved ones, Father, we continue to pray for them. We pray that you would be with them in lonely times and be with them, Father, when they struggle. And be not only with them, Father, be with all those that will be caregiving and going and visiting. Help us, Lord, never to forget to help one another. Help us, Lord, to not just talk about it, but be about it, Father, in each and everything that we do. Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this time and at the moments ahead of us, Father. We pray for wisdom and the words that will be shared through your servant, Pastor Ed. Be with him. Give him the words. Give us the incentive, Father, to act upon the words that we hear today, Father. We thank you, we love you, and we praise your name. For your son's name that we ask all of these. Amen. You heard me say, don't talk about it, be about it. I heard that Friday night the first time. And I think too often we talk too much rather than being more. Something I'd like to do right now, and I've already reached out to you folks that are on the Youth Pastor Search Committee. If you're here today serving, I'd like for you to come down front this time.
You'll want to sing this song with us, though, I'm sure. This is one of our favorite contemporary Christian praise songs, Here I Am to Worship. I just hope that you all enjoy the song as much as I do. The meaning of this and the, it's just, if you don't feel God's presence, it's beautiful. So remember, don't depend on me to be your leader. Jeff, I hope you've got vocals going with this song also, because I need help this morning. You know, all I do is cough. Okay, because that's what I sent you, but I didn't know what, yeah. Okay, that's fine. Stand with me. Here I am to worship.
Step down into darkness, open.
I was teasing Bobby before we started that I had to quit preaching before his oxygen tank ran out. So he's going to wave if it's getting close. You know, today we're going to continue what we've done the last several weeks, and that is look at the characteristics of the New Testament church. How New Testament are we as individual believers? Would we be recognized, and if one of those folks could come and sit in our sanctuary on a Sunday morning? Would we feel comfortable if we went and gathered with them on a Sunday morning, if we could transport back in time? How New Testament is our church? Not how Baptist it is, not how Christian it is, but how New Testament are we? Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that the New Testament church was grounded upon the Word of God. Everything revolved around, thus saith the Lord. Last week, we looked at the fact that the New Testament church had a life that was saturated by prayer. It was a praying church. They spent a lot of time in prayer. Today, we want to look at a third characteristic of New Testament church, in that they recognize the vital importance of the cross of Calvary and the blood that Jesus shed on that cross. Now, I'm going to meddle just a minute here, but I have read that there are churches and denominations that have decided they'd want to be a little more pleasing to folks, and they just don't want to talk about the blood. They say, we want to do away with bloody religion because that offends people. And we don't want to offend anybody, so my understanding is they've gone to their hymn books and they've taken out songs like Power in the Blood and Washed in the Blood and all probably At Calvary and others that talk about the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sin. Now let me be blunt. I don't care what the sign in front of the church says. I don't care how old the building is. But if you discount the power of the cross, it's not a Christian church. It's not a Bible church. If you don't emphasize the blood of Jesus and the cross that Jesus shed that blood, it's just not a Christian church. Let me sort of prove that to you. Turn with me to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. Little short verse. And it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't say a few have sinned. Some have sinned. Many have sinned. It says all. We were born with a sin nature, and we sin. You were born with lungs and you breathe. And you were born with a sin nature and you sin. You don't believe it? Just go to some daycare. 2 or 3 year old. Over there in the corner's a box of toys with all kind of toys in it. But some kid grabs one. And the other kid says, "That's the one I wanted to play with." And next thing you know, there's a tug of war, and while I'm pushing the other one down, because they all want the same toy. There's another 100 toys in there that they could share, but I want that toy. And from then on, it's just gets worse. That sin nature, all have sinned. Now turn with me to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Verse 22, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. That's pretty plain. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Now, you got a dilemma there. We're all sinners. And the only way to deal with that sin is the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, they shed the blood of thousands and thousands and probably millions of animals. In the New Testament, it was the blood of Jesus. But apart from the shedding of blood, our sin is still on us. Go back in that same chapter to verse 11, Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God. There he says, listen, the blood of Christ is sufficient. He entered in once. In other words, he didn't have to die regularly. He died once from our sin. Folks, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross is all that makes the difference. Without it, there's no forgiveness. And if a church preaches that they don't need the blood of Jesus, it's not a Christian church, according to the Bible. Now let's go back to the book of Acts and see how that played out in the New Testament church. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Thousands have gathered because you know that 3,000 got saved, so I don't know how many thousand Peter was preaching to, but in Acts 2, verse 22, he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." On the day of Pentecost, Peter pointed out the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to Acts 3, verse 15, "And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Again, talk about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse 9. "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." You see, all the way through, Peter was talking about the fact of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That on the cross, it made the difference. Well, let's look at Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God is in the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, listen, when I came to you, I came to preach Jesus Christ, the crucified Christ. That was my main goal. That's my theme. That's what's important. And in the power of God, he said, now the Jews and the Gentiles laugh at it, and it's foolishness and it's a stumbling block. They don't understand it. But Paul says it is the power of God to salvation. Our salvation comes through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, one last thing that the Apostle Paul said, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Paul says, I preach the gospel by which you're saved, the gospel by which you stand, and it's this, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Folks, we must never, never, never think that the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ is irrelevant. Sure, just like in those days, there are people that say, hey, I don't like that bloody religion. If Jesus didn't die, we're going to all go to hell. And if we don't believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed on that cross, we're not going to be saved. It's his death that makes the difference. Now, what does the cross, what difference does it make? I want us to look at about four or five different things, different scriptures. Go back to Romans again, chapter 9. Now see what I'm wanting you to do is to study, is to see what your Bible says, not what Ed Lauder says, but what the Bible says about the cross, its importance, and what it does for you. Romans 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You are made right with Almighty God through the blood of Jesus. Justified. Some people say just as if I had never sinned. Our sins are dealt with when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary. We're justified. We're made right with God. All right, go over to Colossians chapter 1. We get done this series, you may need a new Bible. You may have Colossians chapter 1. And verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. I'll get there in a second. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Peace. We have peace in our hearts through the blood of the Lord Jesus. We're reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Your sin was nailed to the cross. Your sin that was the barrier between you and Almighty God, your sin that was a barrier between you and an eternal home in heaven, was nailed to the cross. Jesus took your sin to the cross. His blood was shed for your sin. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 7. And verse 14. Let's go to verse 13 first. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're made pure in the blood of Jesus. And flip on over to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Folks, there's a power in the blood of Jesus. There's a power in the blood of Jesus. There's an overcoming power in the blood of Jesus. And I could tell you some stories, but I'll just tell you one. There was this couple that were doing missionary work in Canada. And they'd left their young children with relatives in Tennessee. And suddenly they were assaulted with the thoughts from the devil. There are a lot of rabid foxes in that area, and I'm going to send some of those rabid foxes to bite your kids, and they'll get rabies and die. And they were just, you know, shook like you would be if you felt like the devil was giving you that word of warning. And they couldn't run back to Tennessee and grab those kids up. But what they did is they prayed a bloodline around their relative's property. They prayed a bloodline around their relative's property. The blood of Jesus. Well, when they got back after their missionary trip was over, their evangelistic trip was over, their kids were fine. And they asked the relative, anything strange going on? He said, yeah, you know, it's really strange. We saw a lot of dead foxes right outside of our property line. Now, you can believe it or not believe it, but it happened. The blood of Jesus is an overcoming blood. One more, 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now notice several things there. Jesus took our sins to the cross. And we can become dead to sin. We can have the ability to overcome sin and temptation because of the blood of Jesus. We can live a righteous life because of the blood of Jesus. And we can have healing, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual healing by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes a difference. There's a power. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. The cross of Jesus and his resurrection is the most pivotal point in world history. Apart from the shedding of blood, the Bible says no remission of sin. Jesus died for you and for me. Jesus died for you and me. Never let anybody talk you out of the power of the blood of Jesus. Never let anybody pretend that it doesn't matter. Never, never, never. But always remember, if Jesus hadn't died on that cross, we'd be eternally lost. But praise God, he did. Praise God, he did. Most of the time on the front of the communion table, it says, in remembrance. In remembrance. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion. And if you're a child of God, we welcome you to take part. You don't, whether you're a member of this church or not, we welcome you to take part as we celebrate Jesus died on the cross. And the New Testament church knew that apart from the cross, there was no victory and there was no salvation. So if our deacons will come. The Bible says that that night Jesus gathered his disciples together. He took bread and he broke it and he prayed over it and said, "This is my body broken for you." I'll ask Kenny to have a prayer for the bread. You go back to the nursery. And there's power in that. I mean, after all, if Jesus can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed thousands, it's amazing what he can do for you. Rejoice in a Savior who loves you so much. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." In the same way, the Lord took the cup and he blessed it as he prepared to give it to the disciples. Jeff, would you lead us in this prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day and its many blessings. Father, I thank you for each and every one here today and their willingness to be here. Father, we pray that we have open hearts and open minds so we can receive the message that has been brought today. Father, we ask that you bless this cup as it represents the blood of Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, that. Was anyone overlooked? Standing here thinking again, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood. And then one of my favorites, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross for your sin and mine. As you partake, be thankful. Oh, be thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There may be somebody here that couldn't partake because you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to ask you to stand, and I just ask Brenda to play the invitation hymn. If there's someone that needs to make some decision for the Lord, we invite you to come. Become a part of our family, our church family. Come to the altar and pray. Or come and talk with me about accepting Jesus. Would you come as Brenda plays? Conclude with that wonderful thought that we are the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Tanya's going to lead us in singing, "Blessed Be the Tie."